everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Bloodbath, Season 4, Episode 8 of American Horror Story.
Yes.
Do you not like the title, Bloodbath? Do you not like it for some reason?
No, I don't, for a lot of reasons. But, like, more importantly, are you ready for a couple characters to, like... We've had characters just, like, pivot into different characters and motivations and beliefs and stuff before. We are going to have the most wild one, I think, of the entire season up to this point. That Ethel is fucking on one. And holy shit. Wow. Should we just get into it and start breaking this one down? Because God... Damn, is it wild what they have Ethel just do?
Yeah, I would like to say before we move on from the title, though, I want to say that the name of the title is how I have written it in the notes. It is not, I didn't like typo it. It is written Bloodbath, like two separate words. And I didn't even realize that. I don't think most people like do that. I don't think that's a thing people say, like a bath full of blood. Like, I don't think that's a term that people use.
No, bloodbath is,
compound word, right?
At the very least, Merriam-Webster seems to be cool with it being one word. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to point that out because it irritated me when I was typing all of the... I pre-wrote down all of the names of all of the episodes, and when I typed that one, I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. I honestly didn't even parse, but you're 1,000% right. Yeah. What? I mean, and I know why they did
it. Yeah, I know why they did it, too. I just hate it.
The listeners might not yet, but like, there's a reason. It just still blows. Yeah.
It's going to be worse than you think it is, too. I mean, I guess we do complain when the titles of the episodes don't have anything to do with the episode, but like, also, sorry, I want to get ahead of this just in case I forget later. It's inexplicably Christmas. I don't know if anyone else noticed that when they were watching their episode for this week. It's Christmas. This is a Christmas episode for some reason.
At one point, he's building a Christmas tree of the devil, which we'll get there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and also Christmas will be canceled according to another character. But like, I'm like, as soon as that got brought up, I'm like, wait, it's Christmas? It was just Halloween. Where did November go? We didn't do Thanksgiving. What do you mean?
I wonder if something happened during the airing that I don't recall. You know what I mean? Like where it's like, you know. But
about Thanksgiving?
Yeah, like
a Thanksgiving horror movie came out. They're like, we don't want to step on their toes. Yeah, well, I guess we should get into it.
Yeah, we start with a very strange cut of Gloria Mott at the therapist, which is the first time this has happened. The first time we've been introduced to a therapist, which, hey, you know what? American Horror Story they do love their classic hits, and one of them is Bad Therapist. So we do have a bad therapist in the room who is apparently just like asking about Dandy. And yeah.
Like a cop. Yeah. He's being so copy. He's like, so tell me more about your fucked up and evil son. I'm definitely not writing down that I think we should send him to an insane asylum. I promise verbally that I'm definitely not doing that. I'm like, I don't think therapists like can do that at all. I think that they can like alert certain governing bodies if like their direct report is like maybe in a danger to themselves or a danger to others. I don't think they can be like, hey, I think this person's kid is gonna be a problem. Like, I don't think you get to do that. You're not a social worker.
I was gonna say they could like hit up Child Protective Services or like something along those lines or whatever you need to be, or just like the cops. But that's not, the therapist doesn't get to do that, I don't think.
Also weird to like for the therapist to be proactively like, hey, tell me more about your fucked up and evil kid. I'd like to know more about that. That way I can be like I can get down to the business of this case, like I'm a weird detective. Like, no, you're supposed to listen to her. She's here. Not complaining, but she's here like talking through her problems, of which he is one of them, to be fair, but like you're not it's not usually a good sign. Like I've been to a few therapists in my day. It's not a great sign when like the therapist gets like interested in something and like starts asking like more information about like a story you're telling in a way that like doesn't benefit the dynamic you have of being a patient and a therapist. Like when they start asking questions that don't directly relate to you or how you're doing.
Are you suggesting when it goes from being like a therapy session to an interrogation?
Yeah.
Perhaps? Yeah. That is like a different field of practice? Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I don't like being interrogated by medical people, you know? I feel that.
Yeah, like if you casually mention during your therapy session, like, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of cherry pie, and they're like, what are you talking about? Have you just never had like a good cherry pie? Like, that's not really the most professional line of questioning. Usually good therapists stay on track with only asking questions that are relevant to the reason you're there.
I would go as far as to say that is part of their job, is to help keep you on track. Because there's a lot of people who have brain conditions that make it hard for them to focus.
Right.
So, like, you kind of need to be there and ready for that.
And contrary to popular belief, and by popular belief, I mean me specifically, you don't have to get your therapist to like you. You don't have to have, like, casual conversation with your therapist. Fine, yeah. It's not something you have to, like, win. You don't have to make your therapist laugh or make them like you. It's not your job. You're just there to talk about your problems.
I'm still gonna try, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm still gonna try.
Yeah, listen. I can't turn it off. Like, I'm a Midwesterner. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying, goodness knows, I'm not saying I'm not gonna try. I'm just saying you're not supposed to.
Yeah, it's okay. That being said, I don't think I would want a doctor to hate me who, like, I am seeing. I think I would get a new doctor.
Do you have any idea how badly you have to suck for your therapist to be like, oh, brother, this guy stinks?
Nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
I hate when this guy comes in.
We get them rolling back into some of Dandy's past, as Gloria's recalling it. And Dandy had a friend of a small child who he, like, killed or whatever. And then there was another kid, and he, like, killed a cat. And, like, it was whatever. He was serial killing from day one. Great. Yeah. That's really all this kind of establishes. It doesn't really have anything to do with not being an actor or not having twins or whatever.
Yeah, it's really weird because this is one of many things in this episode specifically that they will, like, retroactively, like, redo a character's lore. They'll do it with another main character later where they're like, yeah, no, here's the same lore we kind of showed you, but this time it's, like, a little bit different. Hopefully not enough for you to notice, but it does completely change the character's backstory and motivations. And yeah, like, he's been doing this evidently since he was, like, a wee lad. And I would say that he was presented to us as being, like, a brat, mostly, at the beginning. Like, a weird little freak, but not a killer.
Yeah.
And the first time he does a killing thing was with Twisty. It's, like, a big revelation where he's like, oh, I like doing the killing thing. And it's like, okay, well, if he's been doing this since he was a kid, why did he have, like, a big dry spell for, like, 30 years?
They kind of flip-flop, too, though, like, because they also imply that his father was, like, had, like, kind of killing or serial killer tendencies, I guess, you know? But you're absolutely right that, like, it was supposed to be sort of unlocked in a way by, like, Twisty or whatever, you know?
Yeah, not something he had been doing since he was a toddler.
Yeah.
Also, like, they have him present as, and this is something that's been going back and forth on Dandy this entire season, but they have him be, like, someone who's, like, very well-to-do and very nice to be around and just very pleasant and, you know, accepting and willing to make concessions. And then he's not.
Yeah.
And this happens within this episode, where, like, he's a little kid who's, like, charming and likes working with other kids, and then later on, oh, if you say the word no around him, he will just kill you instantly. Like, it's like, okay, well, all right, he's just whatever you need him to be this scene, I guess. Fine.
Yeah, he's, like, he's real turbo nasty this, like, episode, and I will, like, it's not really a spoiler because we don't really get a lot of Dandy this episode, but, like, what's weird is they make him, like, turbo nasty, which I guess you could, if you were using this, like, in a linear fashion, storytelling wise, you could justify by saying, like, oh, well, they took the twins back, and that's what's, like, Joker-fied him. Again, this isn't like really a spoiler. It's more like an absence of a spoiler is he doesn't mention the twins once this episode. Like he never brings it up at all. It's like he never even knew the twins. You'd expect that if that was like the big deal, the reason why he's like this, because this is a spoiler. Yeah. He's real nasty now, like more than usual. You'd think that he would like bring that up, but instead he just keeps harping on this like I'm not a nasty boy line that he like is really hung up on for like the rest of the episode. Never mentions the twins. In fact, most the twins only get brought up like one time this episode, and it's so a character can tell us that they're not going to be in the episode.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know. They just seem to be forgetting relationships more than in this season than like any previous.
Yeah.
I just can't think of another time where, because like Paul and Elsa's relationship just came out of fucking nowhere. Like Del has randomly been like gaining and losing family members over the course of this whole show. Yeah. And now there's just like this, the thing between Dandy and the twins just gone. And then like also Jimmy and the twins just gone. And then now there's like Jimmy and
Maggie.
What's her name? Maggie.
And that one
they remember, thank God.
Yeah, that one that had so much build up and was definitely like
so
a
much
real
depth.
Yeah, a real solid so much relationship
depth.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But going back to the therapist, at the end of like her telling this like flashback, we get a lot of flashbacks this episode. After all that's done, the therapist is like, oh, hey, by the way, did like, I don't know, I'm not going to like call the cops or anything, but like, did something maybe happen that like recently that's made you a little bit nervous about Dandy? And basically she's like, no, I like, this is just an ongoing problem. And I'm like, yeah, man, you're not a really good therapist, because she literally just explained that for the last 30 years, she's been living with a demon boy. Who's been a nasty lad that she's had to like take responsibility for. Like, she's tired, dude. Like, what do you mean? Is there something recently? Like, what a narc. There's a lot of characters. Can I just say, there's a lot of characters this episode that are fucking narcs, and they were really irritating this episode. And the therapist is one of them. fuck them. And then that's the end of the episode opening sequence before it plays like the theme song. It's real short. It's real, real short for their opening. And now we're to the meat and potatoes of the show. If you can really call it that.
Bon appetit, where are you at?
We got a new meat.
Make a big noise. Make a big noise if you're out here.
We have a new meep, and it's regrettably ma petit. It's like nighttime, and everybody, including Del, who, in case you forgot, is the one who killed Ma Petite, is looking for Ma Petite with a bloodhound they just inexplicably have now.
Del, who killed Ma Petite and also was caught attempting to murder and or sexually assault another person at the freak show the day before.
Yeah, yeah.
And beat the shit out of Jimmy at a different point and is just a known piece of shit to Ethel. Just a guy who we all know and hate and has done so many things that would get him kicked out of the freak show. Nobody gives a shit. He's fine. It's fine that he's here. It's good, actually. We like him. He's a good boy. We like him, and he's our best friend.
They have a cop dog. Also, they have like a hunting dog that hunts for Ma Petite
named DiMaggio. He says it like we fucking know who that dog is. He's like, you take DiMaggio. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to? Because it's not us. Like, who the fuck is DiMaggio? Is this anything? Like,
you
literally,
know,
is this anything? he's like, I'm gonna go hug the riverbed. And I'm like, all right, so like they're treating it, they want us, they think we're fucking stupid, and they're like, yeah, just forget Del's the one that killed Ma Petite for a second. He's real nice in this episode, or in this scene. He's helping like a lot. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because like the implication, because the thing is, Jimmy takes the bloodhound and then he like sees something and then he screams and we don't see what it is, and we'll find out it's like her clothes. And I'm like, so the implication here is that, like, Del, like, set this up as a plant as like a misdirection, why would you not just like not do that? Why would you just like be like, I don't know where she went, and then just like not follow up on it? Because like they're like freaks in a freak show. They don't have forensics.
So they tried to implicate that he was doing a setup to make it seem like it was a wild animal that did it. The problem is he doesn't do any of the things you need to do to make that work. it doesn't work. I mean, also, he, like, crushed the bones, which you can't do if you're giving it to the museum. So that's all. He's just fucked it up every step of the way, if we're being honest.
Yeah. Remember, if you will, that the way that he killed Ma Petite was, like, he hugged her to death. And that's not, like, me doing a bit. That's, like, literally what he did is he just, like, gave her. She's like, hugs. And he gave her a hug and then just, like, kept hugging. Because he's the strong man. You know, sometimes you get the too hugger. Good of a hug and you get hugged, TM.
Yeah, of course. As you do, yeah.
And he hugged her to death. Because, like, the thing was that they needed her to be, like, fully intact to be, like, put in the jar or whatever, so it didn't look conspicuous or anything. The thing that Jimmy finds, because again, Jimmy first of all just like sees something on the ground and screams, and he screams in a way where it's like, oh, he found like a dead body for sure, for sure.
Corpse.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, wait, Ma Petite's in a museum. Like, what could he have found?
This was my exact same confusion. 100% was exactly. Just like, but why would there be a corpse? The whole point of it was that he gave the corpse. So why is there a corpse? No, it turns out Jimmy's just a fucking wiener.
Get scared, saw a little dress and got afraid real bad. And then it cuts to like everybody being in the big circus tent, and Jimmy just has this huge box and he's like walking somberly with it towards Elsa. And then Elsa opens it and has a very similar response of also screaming like it's a dead body in the box. And it's not. It's just her dress that she was wearing, which is covered in blood, by the way. And I'm like, all right, well, whose blood is that? Because, like, it's not Ma Petite's blood because she didn't die in a way that she would have bled at all. And it's, like, soaked in blood. And if it's, like, not her blood, what blood did Delgo get and, like, put this in? And then also on top of that, why would the dog? Yeah, why would the dog have like, tracked it? Or whatever. And the dress is not torn
when
up.
When no one was looking, he just kept sneaking the dog a different hanky, being like, no, check this out. Yeah. check out
this pig blood I found, I guess. And like the dress is like not at all torn up because again, she was not like stabbed to death. She was hugged to death.
She wasn't ripped apart by wolves. Yeah, they didn't have wolves tear her to bits, which is what the implication is. Because like, if a wolf shredded her with a gang of wolves, presumably, they'd get the dress a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
And the immediate thing is they see this dress soaked in blood, and everybody, not people who are even like trying to lie to cover up the like murder, regular people in the freak show are like, Coyote's got her. And I'm like, what makes you think that? What about this situation makes you think Coyote's got her? And I'm like, damn, Del got really lucky that you guys are all fucking stupid.
This is like a Danganronpa case where they all think they did it somehow. And it's like, yeah, but.
Yeah. And at the end, we're going to put Del into a machine that shoots baseballs at him until he's dead.
You know that would be good. Anyway, yeah.
No, it drops dumbbells
like a dunk
on him.
Tank.
Yeah,
it's like a dunk tank, but you just like curve the shot to the side, and it's like, no, not at me.
Like just in the temple over and over. Yeah.
God, this season would have been so much better if there were Danganronpa style like executions for all of the antagonists.
I'm sure they'll rip it off in some season or another coming up. Yeah. Don't worry.
God.
We got plenty of time to be stealing stuff. It's fine.
So
yeah, the coyotes didn't do it. And we head back to Elsa's chambers where Ethel like walks in and is seeing Elsa like weeping, like very openly and honestly too. For the record, this isn't acting. Well, it is acting because, you know, it's a TV show and there's a character in it.
Sure,
but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, the character in the metafiction is not acting. She is legitimately like very upset about Ma Petite. And for some reason, Ethel just like brings in a fucking crazy hater energy.
Yeah.
like huge style.
Absolutely outrageous. You. Yeah, her team just won the Super Bowl and dumped a whole thing of haterade on her because she is like fucking on a warpath. She's like, "You aren't crying for shit, bitch." And it's like, "Whoa, Ethel, what's going on?"
Yeah, it's real out there.
and this is going to, it's so funny because this is already so out of left field. But on top of that, there's this hilarious dynamic of from the moment that like Elsa sees Ma Petite's like dead body, not dead body, obviously, to like the dress. Jessica Lange acts the hell out of the rest of this episode. Like, she's not playing the right character for what it's worth, but she is acting the hell out of this episode. She, like, really, really locked in. And so you have Jessica Lange, who is just, like, almost Toni Collette levels of distraught in Hereditary over this dead baby person.
And for what it's worth, like, it does, that makes sense for the character of Elsa. This, like, weird theatrical woman who has brought under her wing a bunch of, you know, different folk that she looks after as her family. Like, it's a perfect job for that character, yeah.
And she was very, like, the one thing that is still consistent about Elsa Mars as a character is, for better or worse, based on Ma Petite's agency as an adult woman, like, Elsa loved that little baby lady, like a lot, It was like her baby, even though it was a grown adult woman.
Yeah.
Like that has never been in question. We've never been given any information to the contrary. Neither has anybody else in the freak show. Ethel disagrees.
I feel like Ethel also, like, gets so mad she doesn't have an accent for part of this
scene. I totally forgot to put a comment about it, but I noticed that for, like, all of this interaction is she just, like, drops the weird fucked up accent. She's like, I'm so mad.
So mad. I'm just going to start speaking broadcaster English.
She's like, I'm so drunk and angry that I'm talking like a normal woman now. That's all it took for me to talk like a normal lady, is for me to be drunk and angry. Yeah. So Ethel brings just rancid vibes to the after party, if it were. And is like, yeah, I think you're full of shit. I think you're full of shit, Elsa. You're not actually upset about that baby person being dead. And Elsa's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, literally, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, Ma Petite was an angel. And now we've started meeping Ma Petite, where, like, now various characters are going to be like, Ma Petite was the best of us.
At least Ma Petite was, like, a sweet little lady who was just kind of, like, pleasant, as opposed to,
Meep.
The weird chicken head eating guy.
Meep.
Yeah. Mm.
He was so brave.
At least when they're like, Ma Petite was a sweet little angel, I'm like, yeah, she's kind of a sweet little angel. Whereas, like, Meep was the best of us, I'm like, he wasn't, though.
Yeah.
He really wasn't.
Could eat a chicken head with the best of them, let me tell you.
If Meep has no haters, then I have died. Yeah, exactly.
And this is where we first learned that this is Christmas, because Elsa goes, I'm in mourning. Christmas is canceled. And I'm like, is it Christmas? I guess it's Christmas.
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say, they played fast and loose with the scheduling on this, because I looked it up after we mentioned it earlier, and it's like the Halloween episode of Edward Mordrake spans two episodes, which like bleeds past October, and then they do skip a week for Thanksgiving, bringing this episode to December 9th, which is a very early Christmas episode, so I don't buy it, American Horror Story.
That's so cool. And also, Del had a boyfriend for like 2 months somewhere in there
that was tight.
He's dead, and Del doesn't give a shit about it, and he's never gonna know. Here we are. But yeah, and then that's like when she's like, Christmas is canceled. And that's when Ethel really goes full hater mode and is like, I know that you're fucking lying. That's about as thick as her accent gets for that specific scene. And like, she goes on this rant about how like, oh, we've always known that you actually secretly hated Ma Petite because the crowd loved Ma Petite for being cute.
And they show this like weird flashback that I don't think happens ever. Like, yeah. Not only didn't happen previously in the show, but like didn't even happen in the universe's fiction, where Elsa was like doing pretty good on stage. And then, yeah, like Ma Petite gets wheeled out with like a little cart of roses, and everybody's just like popping off, losing their goddamn mind, like, yeah, Ma Petite, let's go. And it's like, I don't think that happened.
Elsa getting mad about it, like, oh no, they're clapping for her now. And I'm like, this is a weird Jonathan Frakes, like, we made it up, like, situation. Like, Ethel, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, like, Ethel's just fucking winging it, writing fan fiction about how... And I'm like, it's, again, like, the reason why she has this thought in her mind, and she'll explain it in, like, a few seconds, is, like, she's like, I heard you talking to that Hollywood fella about wanting to kill the twins or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, that you... Maybe we should have opened with that, because, like, this weird, like, thing about her hating Ma Petite, she has never been anything other than, like, doting and affectionate and, like, fawning over Ma Petite, ever.
If anything, like, the wrong kind of loving is the closest thing to a sin she had committed. Yeah.
Yeah, like, again, kind of use her as a baby, and, like, it's her baby, and even though it's a grown adult woman... but yeah, and Ethel's just like convinced. She's like, you killed Ma Petite because she was too cute or something. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And this is where it really takes a turn, because she's like, I heard you talking to that producer fella. And Elsa's like, judge me by my actions, not by my words. That was a turn of phrase. You've taken me out of context. Low-key.
I hate this, by the way, because it's like, not only is that a thing shitty people who say shitty words a lot, they're like, don't judge me by my words, please. It's like, well, then maybe say some better ones.
Yeah.
But also, this is like real cut and dry. This is just like, hey, we should kill the twins. Fascinating.
Like, yeah. Good idea. I'll work on that for you.
Walk me through it. Like,
And
what would that look like? Can we get a storyboard on this?
Yeah, give me like the details, the specifics. Like, even maybe like, give me your motivation too.
Instead of shooting them, what if we did this? Like, yeah.
How do you feel about baked goods and poison? Do you think you could maybe work something out of that variety? No?
I'm glad
okay.
not gonna work. Something okay. and then all this okay. gay porn falls out of his suitcase.
Yeah. Oh, no, my Beefcake magazine.
Damn it. Always.
Yeah, and this is where... Elsa's like, all right, fuck it. We'll go get the twins and I'll bring them here and they'll tell you how much I don't plan on killing them. And then Ethel says a very confusing thing of, I've hidden the twins safe from you. And I'm like, A, the twins are like in direct, like, cahoots, for lack of a better word,
the
with
twins
Elsa.
They have, even better, they have leverage over Elsa. Not only are they in cahoots, they have advantage. The twins are plus. And yet. Yeah.
Also, and like, then, why does everyone on the show think the twins are like an object that you can just sell or hide? You know? Like,
I've hidden like them in the shrine of the silver monkey.
I was going to say, yeah, they have mistaken them with like a cursed golden idol. Maybe that's what this was originally about. Like, there was like a really fucked up statue that made everyone evil.
Yeah. And so this was the throwaway line they used to explain why the twins aren't in this episode, I guess. Because again, the twins are not in this episode at all. I guess Sarah Paulson was busy, or they didn't want to pay Sarah Paulson price for this episode.
She realized she could do better than this weird show, or, you know, there's quite a lot of reasons I could not have faulted Silver Paulson for this.
But Elsa's like, yeah, I've hidden them away. I'm like, and then that's the other fucked up thing is she never, I'd like to start this thought and then we'll revisit it in about 5 minutes. But like, she never says where she's hidden the twins. And I have to assume it's not anywhere that anyone else knows either. Based on what this scene culminates with. I hope somebody finds the twins.
Oh, no! We buried the treasure and we forgot to give the map!
Yeah. Oh, no. I hope somebody finds the twins. I'm sure they'll be back inexplicably next episode with no worse for the wear.
In one piece.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fine.
They'll be back.
Paces,
I'm sure.
Ma, what were you talking about here?
Yeah, nobody. Just I'd like to say that for the rest of the episode, no one else asks where the twins were. Everybody was real fucked up about where the twins were for like all of the last two episodes. While they were with Dandy, no one cares
they
now.
They have a minimum aware or like a maximum awareness of like one person. So they were like, the twins are gone. Oh no. Oh, Ma Petite's gone. Oh, we found Ma Petite and she's dead. Oh, that sucks.
What were we
Was there anything
about?
Else? No.
Yeah. That's why that one time when they were really upset about Paul getting stabbed, they all stopped what they were doing when Ma Petite was missing, but then they immediately found her. So it was fine. And they went back to not giving a shit about Paul.
And he was like, I still need that hospital.
Like, it's fine. Yeah. He got better. He's fine.
Good cause.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Everybody's so whiny. He's fine. So Elsa's like, you're full of shit. I don't know what you did with the twins. This is fucked up, and I don't like this weird hater energy you're bringing. And then she goes to leave. Ethel whips out
just
a gun.
Like, Elsa like stands up and like is casually walking out, and then Ethel out of nowhere, like I think she says like one thing too, like I think she's just like, this ends tonight. Just like what? And,
well, she says something like she doesn't even give that speech until after she does what she's about to do. Like Elsa tries to leave and she goes, no, you don't. And like immediately pulls out a gun and fires it. I'm like, holy shit, Ethel.
Like a six-shot revolver, and just Clint Eastwood's her fucking leg. And then like has a moment of like, oh no, what have I done? And then Elsa's like, gave me a speed hole, bitch. I lived.
Yeah, like this is how Ethel finds out that Elsa has wooden legs, I guess. And then Elsa's like, Lamau, my trap
insane.
Card.
Insane. And like, how would you not notice that just by like, she fell over one time and you helped her up and are like, oh, huh, your legs are different. Or like, you know, coming in and giving her breakfast and she has not put on her legs yet, for example. Well, if you've brought her plate every day for 15 years, feels like you would have seen that at least once, right?
Well, you know what's funny is they've decided to try to answer that question with a totally necessary flashback, right? Like when that happens, when it's like back in 1940s Germany or whatever, after I got my legs cut off.
So just to clarify, like, Ethel shoots Elsa in the leg, and they just kind of like don't really react to it at all, like other than Elsa being like, oh, you don't think I love you because I am one of you.
Yeah,
and it's like, how
has
this not come up ever?
Yes.
And then it cuts to a flashback that Beef is describing.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, I was mentioning before in a different scene and context about how I had my legs cut off in the snuff film. Well, I'm going to continue the story with Ethel, I guess. Or not, it's not clear. But the soldier brings her to a guy. And then it's like European stereotype theater where it's like, you know what Germans are also good at? Clockwork. And therefore, they can make amazing prosthetics. And it's the guy who plays the Axeman from season 3. And he's back now, and he's also got a fake German accent, and he's met his greatest challenge, her, even though it's, you know, just a prosthetic leg, it's not that challenging, but whatever.
I love that they try to, like, make it weird, but they can't really succeed. He's just, like, a carver. Like, they're like, ooh, and he carves feet. And I'm like, yeah, he makes prosthetics.
Yeah.
That's his job.
That's
like,
exactly his deal. Yeah.
You can't hit me with the, and he does feet. Like, yeah, I would hope.
Yeah, she says something about, like, oh, yeah, he was going to, like, go work in the movies. He was going to make, like, movie props. And I'm like, yeah, I think feet would have been, like, some of those, like, for, like,
yeah,
scary movies.
I
would think some of them would have been, like, body parts. Good for him.
Yeah.
They
absolutely.
Even give him like a first name, last name, and we get like lore about this dude. Why? Who the fuck knows? But we get lore about this guy for some reason. Also, Elsa's
Massimo Del Safino.
Yeah, Elsa's immediate reaction to getting shot in the leg by Ethel is not, hey, Ethel, what the fuck was that about? It's, let me tell you about Massimo Del Safino. And then, like, Elsa never brings up that Ethel was just ready, because Ethel didn't know she had wooden legs, so Ethel was just ready to blow her leg off, like, for real, for real. And they don't mention that. I feel like that would be the first thing I would ask about, is be like, hey, why did you shoot my leg off? Good thing I have wooden ones, so it doesn't really matter, but, like... Why'd you do that? Out of curiosity. It's going to be real hard for me to hide my wooden legs now, because the way that this, like, weird flashback plays out makes it seem like she only has one pair of the legs. So, like, does it just have a hole in it now? Like, how are you going to hide that? Well, I don't know. We'll see. They don't mention it. It's just also, something I noticed.
They treat it like he's just like, I will make you the most beautiful legs. They will be the most incredible legs. No one's ever seen anything as sexy as these. And then they're just like regular legs, but like made of wood. Like they're really like just totally normal legs. And he's like, my masterpiece. Everyone's gonna nut to these bad boys. And I'm like, it looks like Pinocchio.
Love me my Pinocchio legs. It really gets me going. Really winds me up. Yeah, so we get like a whole like 3 minute sequence of this, and I'm like, we already know why Elsa doesn't have legs. Why are we, the audience, being treated to a second like expositional story about why Elsa doesn't have legs? Like, why are we getting this? We know already. We had Edward Mordrake, the ghost that gets all of the backstory here, and he got all of the backstory. Why are we getting more of it? Ethel is like, wow, that's fucked up. I am gonna kill you and everyone else and then myself, though, with 5 bullets, evidently.
She says it in a really stupid way, too. She's like, nah, the curtain falls tonight. And it's like, well, that's a little bit theatric. Yeah. I mean, you're holding a gun. Let's be on the nose if we could.
Well, yeah, this conversation is so weird because, like, I was kind of joking about her being like, wow, that's fucked up anyway. But, like, that's kind of is how she, like, treats it. She's like, oh, that's fucked up about your legs. I am going to kill you. And then Elsa's like, well, what? I'm like your best friend. Like, isn't that going to fuck you up? And then she's like, no, the other bullet or the last bullet is for me. And I'm like, okay, murder, suicide. Like, that's like, she knows she's going to die. So I guess this kind of like makes sense in her mind, like murder, suicide. And then Elsa says something that I wouldn't have even thought, because already this is pretty out of character for Ethel, but this is really out of character for Ethel. She goes, well, don't kill all the other freaks in the freak show. And I'm like, why would you assume Ethel was going to kill all the other freaks in the freak show? Like, why would she do that? But apparently she's right, because Ethel's like, no, I'm going to kill all the other freaks in the freak show and then myself.
Truly, they were like, we have nothing left for Kathy Bates to do, and we need to get her out of the story. We need to get her out of the story so bad.
And I'm like, they're going to use it as justification for what Elsa does. And I'm like, the fact that Ethel was going to kill Elsa is enough justification for what Elsa does. We don't need, like, to tack on, oh, and she was going to kill all the freaks in the freak show. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Hey, good news. If anyone's unclear on if she attacked her or not, there's if only there was some kind of wound that was like permanent and locked in place and some kind of wooden structure attached to your body that indicates where you were shot. Who can say?
Yeah, really a win-win situation. You have evidence and it wasn't a real body part. So like you didn't even have to like get shot for real. You just had like a piece of wood blown up. Like, you really lucked out here. But instead, they were like, no, Ethel is gonna kill everybody. With 5 bullets, again, it's a 6-shot revolver. She's already used 1 bullet to shoot Elsa in the leg. And then she says the last one's for her. There's, like, 15 people in the freak show, minimum. Minimum. And we keep seeing, like, random people come in and out all the time, so there could be even more than that.
Oh, it's always right off camera. She has a fanny pack filled with like 20 speed loaders. Speed loaders ready to just rip into the revolver, click them out. Can you imagine watching Kathy Bates do like a revolver shooting
that
competition?
Would kick
sounds
so
delightful.
Much ass. Yeah, that would be good, so cool. Yeah. You just described a show I would be much more willing to watch than this one.
Oh yeah.
Wait.
Oh, watching Kathy Bates learn marksmanship sounds awesome.
You know, we keep talking about, you know, Elsa and Ethel, but I'm pretty sure Ethel is trying to shoot John fucking Wick, because then Elsa's like, hey, remember the knife throwing? Wah! And then, like, gets her square in the chest with a knife and kills her.
Not square in the chest, hits her square through the fucking eye.
Oh, that's
which
right,
is
I'm
why
sorry,
it's
right.
so crazy. Yeah, it goes through her eye socket straight to the brain.
We're not selling this enough. It's not just like, oh, she whips out a knife. They have to arrange the plot around to let Elsa get a knife. Because I know what some of you are thinking is, well, did Elsa just, like, have a knife in her fake leg or something? No, they have to let Ethel, like, let Elsa stand up, walk across the room to get a last drink, and there happens to be a knife there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, like, walks over to the drinks table and grabs one. So it's not even, like, one of her throwing knives. It's just a knife, but... and this was the point where she whips it, and it is truly just, like, so John Wickian and so out of character that I had to pause and be like, oh, right, they said she could throw knives. Like, she's mostly been missing up to this point, but, like, damn, clutch, I guess.
Yeah, she did hit Paul, but, like, I think she was trying to, to be fair.
Maybe not. It feels like she hit him more than intended.
Yeah.
This is kind of how it felt.
Yeah.
But regardless, just takes Ethel out in like a very violent way that's going to be borderline impossible to hide any evidence of. So might as well just leave the body where it is, bring everyone in, explain, see where I got shot. So nope, time to do a stupid elaborate cover plan.
Oh boy.
Get in the car, idiots.
Speaking of Danganronpa, yeah.
And this is framed in a way that was like so confusing that I had to like stop and redo my notes several times, because I was like, oh wait, no, this is a misdirection for us, the audience, also. And I'm like, wait, why are you misdirecting us? We know what happened.
Right.
Like, why are you? I'm like, are you gaslighting me? What are you talking about? Because what happens is Jimmy like comes back to the circus and everyone's like crowded around Maggie, who is crying, and I guess has not told anybody why. This crowd has like gathered and is like surrounding her as she's crying in the chair.
Just broad crying.
Yeah,
we got a white woman with a problem over here.
stare at it till she tells us what's going on.
And they're like, Jimmy, you got to get in here. We're all staring at your girlfriend who's crying. We got to figure out what's going on. And then Jimmy comes in and is like, oh no, my girlfriend, what's going on? And she goes, I was picking flowers for what something, Mopatite's funeral. Yeah,
Mopatite's grave.
And then there was a car crash, and Jimmy's like, oh, that's fucked up. And she's like, it was your mother. And then he's like, what? And then she's like, I think it was a suicide. And I'm like, and that's where I was like, what? Why would you think a car crash was a suicide? What the fuck are you talking about?
Cars are like a horrible way to commit suicide because they are designed to not kill you. Like, that's kind of like a big part of it. Like, I mean, hey, if you want to get a truck, now we're talking. But like a car especially is, no dice. Don't kill yourself with a car. Well, good news. Ethel didn't. She did something completely insane. And tied a chain around her neck. And then I guess like tied it to a tree behind her out through the window, and then put a brick on the gas pedal. I'll be honest, this sounds like too much engineering for Ethel.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, like, when everybody's like, when first of all she's like, I think it was a suicide, and that's when I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then like a little bit more talking happens, and then they show us a flashback of Stanley setting up the fake suicide. And I'm like, oh, okay, so you just gaslit us for no reason for a few seconds there. And I'm like, I think if it was me and someone told me they found someone that was like close to me dead and they thought it was a suicide, and then they proceeded to explain that they found them with a chain around their neck that they used to decapitate themselves in a moving vehicle that they had put the brick on the gas pedal of, I'd be like, this is a cover up for a murder. Someone murdered that person. There's no way.
Well, at best, like, it's like a very elaborate way to kill someone. Like, this is a very, it feels like you were like trying to set like a mousetrap world record for an execution.
Real Final Destination,
you know,
shit.
If you think that's wild, just to point out, what happens is, and Stanley's like, all right, we got to have her crash into it, so we'll tie this chain around Rocket's suicide. And then Elsa goes, why are you helping me? And it's like, Elsa, why would you have called him if you didn't think he was going to help you? He's like the newest.
Also,
yeah.
Great question. Why is he helping her? Why would Stanley do that? That's a great question. Why the fuck would Stanley want to get tied up in this and not just be like, hey, thanks for the leverage. Now I know something horrible you did.
Yeah.
Like, my biggest thing is like, he's here to like take a freak back to the museum. He did that.
And he did.
He did it. So like, why is he still here? Like, does he want to? He's really pushing his luck with two, I think. Like, two's like a lot. Like, yeah, that's really pushing it. Like, you got lucky with Ma Petite, but like, who are you going to try and take next without anybody noticing? Because people are going to start putting two and two together. What part of helping Elsa stage this fake suicide is getting another freak? Because he doesn't think Elsa's a freak. So, like, He doesn't want her. Also, she wouldn't probably be worth anything at the the museum.
Probably not, right?
No, an amputee? Yeah, no, after the war? No. No, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, not really worth a whole lot. The demand isn't like super, super high at those museums for those. Like, and who else would be left? Like, oh, Amazon Eve's real tall. Okay. Big whoop. We got a tall lady in the museum. Great.
Also, apparently, she knows martial arts.
Yeah.
So, like, don't... just a bad plan all around.
Yeah. So, it's real unclear as to, A, why Stanley is even still there. Because, again, he's not, like, a real producer. So, he has no vested interest in, like, Elsa getting successful or anything. And he got what he wanted. And he's, like, a con man. So, like, he probably should have left. Got while the gotten is good. He doesn't, though, and he's helping with this. Yeah.
Also, on top of everything else, decapitating her doesn't cover up a wound of a knife going into her eye, like, even a little.
That's a good point.
You would need something that, like, destroys the skull, which, for what it's worth, would be even more unconvincing of, like, wow, she set up a giant mallet to swing off of this tree branch. That's so crazy.
Yeah. She really John Kramer'd herself.
Fucking L.
Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah, classic saw trap of a big safe lifted up over a cross drawn on the ground.
Okay, this is just like the Ma Petite thing, though, where I'm like, you know what would have been easier than all this is like simply removing her body. You don't have to have people find things. Just like have them go missing. And then because the immediate reaction from most people that aren't fucking Jimmy are like, well, she was sick and sad and knew she was dying, so it makes sense that she'd kill herself. So, like, everybody is in agreement besides Jimmy, who's like, what? My mom was sick. like, everybody's in agreement, like, oh, she killed herself? That makes sense. Like, her just going missing would have the same effect.
She was dying of alcoholism. She was dying of disease. And also, was depressed and had to deal with Dell all the time, who she fucking hates. And so, like, it's nonsense. Also, when Stanley's setting it up, his justification is just like, that's what I do for my client. I'm a Hollywood man. That's what I do. I love representing my clients. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Stanley? He's like, she's like, why do we have to set it up like this with all the theatrics? He's like, that's what we do in Hollywood, baby. It's like, who is this man?
That's what you do in showbiz. You got to do this for your... My agent wouldn't do this for me, but it's good to know that someone would. I can barely get my agent to answer my emails sometimes. Like, Stanley really goes above and beyond.
If I got an agent who would kill for me, I would probably try and find a new agent.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. They're supposed to have lines for me. I'm the dumb clown.
But instead they've done this bizarre mousetrap thing where they have set up, and then of course, like, Elsa has to react to this sad too, and she's obviously, what's wild is like, and I think this is to Jessica Lange's credit, I think this is intentional, she's like way less convincing about Ethel being dead than she was when she found Ma Petite's clothes.
Right.
And I think that's intentional. I think that was done on purpose, whether that was by direction or just Jessica Lange reading the room. It is obvious that, like, she is not very convincing about it, but I guess no one else thinks that that's weird.
Right.
According to Ethel, everybody suspected her of being an awful lady, which, granted, she did stab Paul. So they should maybe not trust her, like, a little bit. But no one does. No one cares. But you know who we haven't checked on in a while? Dandy, everyone's favorite little guy.
Yes.
Dandy.
Yeah.
Remember Regina? Everyone collectively says no. Yeah, Regina.
Dora's daughter.
Dora's daughter.
Said no
the maid's daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
Played by award-winning actress Gabri. Yeah.
She's in the
good
show.
Actress.
Remember her from like seven episodes ago? She's in the show. And she's here with Dandy, who's hanging out with her and playing a board game. And Gloria comes in like, "Oh, hey, you're here. Oh, that's crazy." And Dandy's like, "Hey, Mom, make up a lie about why Dora's not here."
Yeah,
to her daughter's face.
Totally, yeah, throws his mom like under the bus here, or he's just like, "Mom, surely you have a reason that, you know, she wouldn't be here," which is like, Dandy, what the fuck are you doing? You're gonna get caught too if your mom can't think up a lie, stupid. Like, but you know, he's just
also
whatever.
Can I just say this whole thing has a plot thread for the rest of the episode? Can I just say that, like, the most realistic ending for this plot thread would have been in this scene for her to have come into the room and Regina was dead on the floor. Like, based on what we see with how Dandy's acting, Dandy would simply solve this problem by killing Regina, and not entertaining this weird thread we'll have for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Dandy has strangely converted to a man of action for the rest of this episode. He will entertain a small discussion before doing what he intends on doing, but as soon as he intends on doing something, he just does it. And that's a thread throughout the rest of this. But yeah, no, you're right. He just lets her hang out, walk away, have a chat, etc.
Yeah, and Regina will just, like, kind of get away scot-free. She'll pop up randomly in really confusing times, but she's mostly fine. Gloria's answer to Dandy throwing her under the bus is to be like, "Yeah, I sent your mom across the state to go get squashes and lamps. Who knows when she'll be back." And Regina's like, "Oh."
She tries to go into, like, weird rich people mode to be like, "Oh, they don't have the good cantaloupes because there was a volcanic eruption. So now they have to do these other cantaloupes over at a different part." And, like, trying to just seem like a very detached rich person who is, like, kind of above it. And, you know, "Oh, I don't know, just nonsensical things." Just trying to kind of divert as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, for what it's worth, I think some people might have been like, "Okay." But not Regina, because it makes sense now that we would know that Regina would be a little bit suspicious, is because in the flashback at the beginning of the episode, we see Dandy cutting off her hair with scissors as she's crying as a little girl. And it's like, okay, so he's always been a little fucked up freak. And Regina knows this. It makes sense why she'd be suspicious. Up until this episode, there was, like, no reason why she would have thought that something happened to her mom in their care. But Regina's like, "Yeah, I don't give a fuck about the squashes. I'll just wait here until she comes back." And I'm like, this is where Dandy would probably just kill her. But he doesn't for whatever reason. Now it's time to have Ethel's funeral. We're not going to have a fucking funeral for Ma Petite. She gets the Black Widow treatment. She just gets an off-screen funeral, even though she made, like, a big dent in this whole episode and the plot moving forward.
And the morale of the team as a whole.
Uh-huh. Funeral for us to watch for Ma Petite. I guess they thought it would have been weird. They didn't want to make a little coffin, is what it was. And so they're having a funeral for Ethel. And Paul is there and fine. He's not stabbed anymore, so I guess it's fine now. And Dell is like, I'm a dad now. I know it's been like 25 years or whatever, but I'm a dad now, and I'm being a good dad to my son, Jimmy.
I give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for my son, who's very upset. And then they have the funeral, and then Jimmy gives a fucking long eulogy speech that we all have to sit through. And then they all leave after throwing some dirt in the home, except for Penny, Amazon Eve, Legless Susie, and Desiree. And I'm like, did you guys discuss this beforehand? How'd you all know to hang back for like for Funeral 2, the sequel to Funeral? Because like they didn't like make any indication that they were gonna like stay behind and have a meeting, but they do. It's a meeting of the ladies, yeah. TM. A lady
like,
meeting.
It would have even made sense if just like one of them kind of sadly said, "Hey, can you three stay back? I need a little more time."
Yeah,
like, and that would be totally understandable.
You three unrelated women.
You three unrelated women
I've never spoken to. Can you guys hang back so that I can talk to you?
Well. Not Penny. We have someone who's believable doing.
Yeah, that's fair. But like, why would Penny stay behind? Penny's never even talked to Ethel, much less
Penny. You're part of the. Yeah. You're part of the new crew now. We need you to. You got to get some new trauma. You just joined late, so we got to catch you up.
Yeah, like they. I guess just everybody's like, I don't know, their cycle synced up or something, and they were like, I know this is supposed to be a lady meeting. and we're gonna hang out and have a meeting of the ladies. Elsa won't stay, and neither will any of the other female characters we've seen. But we know what's
Mercury's
up.
Mercury's in retrograde. Stay behind.
Uh huh.
Very good.
And they have again Funeral 2, the sequel to Funeral, where they talk a little bit more about like Ethel was one of us. A freak lady's got to stick together, and I'm like, have you ever discussed anything of this nature with any of these people before? Amazon Eve has always been shown to be like holding and caring for Ma Petite, so like I don't think she really hangs out with many other people. And Penny just got here, and Desiree's like Dell's wife, who wasn't even here like a month ago,
right? Yeah,
and Susie's like not on camera much,
yeah.
So,
and usually it's just for like a backstory sequence or something. And then they're like hanging behind, talking about how what it's like to be a freak woman, and then Penny is like, "Hey, ladies, I've never spoken to. Look what my dad did to me. Look what they did to me." And Susie says what I was thinking, which is, hey, have you maybe like told the police about that, how your dad like maimed you and how he had a guy like maim you forever? And then Amazon Eve is like, they're not gonna do anything, she's his property. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, there's like a line for that. Like, it's not like he's saying she can't leave. Like, it was a little shitty when he's like, you stay in at night or else you get out of my house. But that's not like, you can't go to the cops over that. As opposed to sedating and full body tattooing and then like ripping someone's tongue in half and all of that non-consensually.
Yeah, just
there's like a pretty
someone.
Big gap there.
Yeah, no, you could.
They'll do something there. I mean,
they won't be like, it's his kid, it's fine. You're allowed to do that to your kid. Like, no, you're not allowed to do that to your kid.
You are explicitly not allowed to do it to your kid. Yeah.
Well, you're not, but it's like, oh, he's the one electrician in town, so I guess we can all understand.
Trust him, yeah. Yeah, that guy's real trustworthy because he...
Oh, I understand. You were worried you were going to lose face in the community if your daughter was seen as part of the freak show, so you had to become one of the freaks. Understandable. Everyday electrician stuff. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Very cool. Life in Jupiter, Florida is awesome. And then after Amazon Eve is like, yeah, no, the cops won't do anything... and we're never going to follow up on this. Source, I made it up.
Desiree's like, okay, ladies, calm down. Let's go kill him with hammers. We'll go get some hammers and we'll go fucking kill him. Like, okay, I get it. And like, legitimately, like, that's what they all do. Like, they go back and one of them's like, I'm putting on some tea. And it's like clearly a pot of like boiling tar. It's just...
I think they call it soup. They're like, put our soup on simmer. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, literally. I don't know why this meeting randomly happened, and B, like, Desiree's like, okay, it's time for us to kick off the "we gotta kill Penny's dad" arc of this season. Like, I'll be honest, I forgot about this part, and when it came up, when Desiree's like, all right, grab your hammers, we're gonna go kill Penny's dad, I was like, man, this is kind of, like, I don't know, like, whatever the opposite reaction to a twist. You know how, like, sometimes when there's, like, a good twist in a show, you're like, whoa, holy shit. Whatever the exact opposite of that is what I felt, because I realized, I'm like, oh, god damn it. I thought we were done with the Penny's dad stuff. Like, I realized that we weren't done with Penny's dad as a character, and I immediately felt discouraged. I was like, yeah. God damn it. God damn it.
And it resolves even worse than you could dream of.
It does.
It sucks. It sucks so much.
It really does.
And I'm not even sure it is resolved.
I hope a savior intervenes before they get justice for a deserved crime. I don't know. Who can say?
Yeah, maybe a savior with like a lot of privilege who maybe hasn't ever experienced any hardships of their own. I think that would be good.
No. She knows better.
Yeah.
Than these, I'm checking my notes. Noble savages? Ooh.
The American Horror Story writer's like, ooh, write that down. That's good.
No, don't write down that. No, don't.
That's the title for episode 9. Write that down.
No. Wait. Oh, God. Well, yeah, next time we'll get to the second half of this episode. And, oh, man, we're going to hit some real strength. If you thought Ethel's twist was, like, shocking and out of nowhere, Dandy becoming the man of action is, like, almost more jarring. And it's about to hit a real fever pitch in a way that, contradicts everything about the character's backstory up till this point.
Yeah, also we'll just inexplicably in like the second half of the season add a new named character to the roster.
A main
cast character that will serve very confusing purposes from this point on and will not be organically added, will be sought out by another character and brought here forcibly.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. It will be very upsetting when we explain what that means.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, till next time, everybody, have a great night. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.